It's time to enter Mr. B's neighborhood. Scott Bertelson brings you an interview with a North Iowa neighbor each second and fourth Wednesday of the month at 5:30 p.m. Find this and other episodes of Mr. B's Neighborhood on our website, KIOW.com. Now here's Scott Bertelson, Mr. B.
Hello out there in Radio Land. Just when you thought it was safe to turn on your radio, guess what? It's Mr. B and Mr. B's Neighborhood. How are you all? I hope I didn't scare anybody. Just wanted a little variety. Well, my fan base, I'm so happy to spend some time with you today. But I know you don't want to hear about me. So I found a really good friend of mine who's lived in the Four City, Iowa area for quite some time. And I consider her one of my best friends and a superb educator. And her name is Tammy McEnroy. Let's hear it for Tammy McEnroy. Hello, Tammy.
Hello. Or hola, maybe I should say.
Hola.
Hola.
Tammy, also known as Princess.
Oh.
Okay. Right? You know I call you Princess.
Yeah, you do.
And why are you known as Princess?
Well,
give the story.
Our dear friend Alice was the queen, so I couldn't take the queen title. Have to be the princess.
She is the teaching queen. Remember
mm-hmm.
that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. Well, anyway, Tammy, the reason I wanted to have you on the program, along with all these other wonderful people who live in the North Iowa area, is for you to talk about what year did you come to Four City and why have you stayed that amount of time? Tammy, what happened? What transpired?
Well, I suppose there's multiple reasons for that. I came in the fall of 2002, so this is my 21st year of teaching, and
congratulations.
Thank you. So yes, I got my 20-year award here in August. That was very nice. And I came, I was, you know, fresh out of college, and I had subbed a little bit.
As opposed to stale?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Don't want to be that stale bread.
Sorry about that, folks.
I came fresh out of college, and I had done about 6 interviews, all at Iowa schools. I knew I wanted to stay in Iowa. Mm-hmm. I grew up in Iowa.
Okay.
And, you know, had been in kind of a small to medium-sized school my whole life,
mm-hmm.
and really knew that after interviewing, I really knew I didn't want to end up in a large school. I was just not comfortable with that. So,
what do you mean by large, Tammy?
Well, I had interviewed at Ankeny for one of my places, and over in the Quad Cities for one of the places, and just didn't get a vibe that I would fit in well there.
Mm-hmm.
Just didn't feel comfortable, didn't feel like it was home.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the other places I went, you know, were very rural in Western Iowa and felt like I would be too far away from my family, even though still in the same state. And I just remember walking into Forest City to get ready for my interview that day.
Yes.
And was waiting for everybody to be, you know, ready at the same time in the same place, and just felt very welcomed, and just walking in the door felt very at ease and didn't feel nervous really at all. So that's why I picked where I did.
Oh, and you've stayed.
I have.
All this time.
Yes.
It's amazing. But I think there might have been some other factors that maybe compelled you to stay here. Could you mention those?
I suppose I could. mention my darling husband.
Yes!
So,
yes!
Yes, my first first year here,
yes.
We met actually on the internet. And
okay. A little plug for online dating?
A little plug, yes. Yes. If you do it in a safe way, yes.
Yeah, right, right, right. Yeah.
So, no, I was not stalked by anyone, no.
Good, good.
We always joke, my husband and I, that our relationship is built on a lie because I didn't want the kids finding me on the internet that I was teaching.
Right, right.
And so I kind of put a little lie, a little white lie, in there about where I was. So I actually said I was a Spanish teacher in Clear Lake, not Forest City, because I didn't want the kids narrowing it down to me and Mrs. Jacobson at the time.
I am very shocked by this. I'm shocked by this news.
Yes. So our relationship was built on a lie, and my husband always jokes about that.
Well, you didn't go too far down the road.
Not too far. He was working at Winnebago, and I was here, and
yes.
It all worked out.
So. Oh, wow. And then when did you get married then?
April 1st, on April Fool's Day, yes, of 2006.
Okay.
So we dated for a few years, and yes.
Oh. And then What's the third reason as to why you have stayed in the North Iowa area?
Well, just because, again, it feels like home, and I've met lots.
Don't you have a daughter?
Well, I do have a daughter.
Okay,
too,
what?
Yeah. Before going into my family, I guess I just really liked the small town feel and how it felt like home, but it wasn't exactly like home, and just kind of making my own space for myself and not feeling like I was returning home. So
right, and you have good accessibility to your parents. It's not a great distance to travel.
No, it's about an hour and a half.
So. Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Very, very easy to do in a day.
Absolutely, yes. So we are so glad that you decided to come here and teach Spanish. Mm-hmm. And tell us, you teach largely freshmen, is this correct?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, but what are some of the other courses that you teach?
Well, I was hired to do just Spanish when I started, and then after Steve Kappas retired, then I picked up more of the geography aspect, and so now I teach all of the intro to geography, which is required for freshmen, and I do all of the geography electives, which any grade can take, but mostly that's freshmen and sophomore level.
I see.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and a plug to my daughter, too, since we were going to mention her before. So.
Oh, I'm so glad. Yes. And your daughter now would be in which grade?
She's in seventh grade.
My goodness.
And she's a cheerleader.
Okay.
just started cheerleading for the first time.
So. Uh-huh. But if she's having fun,
that's
amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes.
So anyway, well, she might have a great career in that.
We'll see. Lots of glitter.
So anyway, all right, so we know a little bit about that. What specifically is your husband's position at Winnebago, may I ask?
Well, his job title keeps changing,
so
I'm not sure I could tell you the exact title
anymore.
But he's kind of more in a supervisory role now than previously when he was first hired. He was hired as an engineer, a design engineer first, and then he's kind of moved around to different titles of positions. So, he's still helping make sure everything gets down the line on time and helping everybody meet their due dates.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure it's a very stressful job.
Oh, I'm sure it is. Oh, anyway. So with that all being brought to our attention, that's really, really great. So now I would like to talk about, even though you love living in the North Iowa area and you love knowing me,
who doesn't?
I didn't pay her to say that, folks.
Right.
We need to hear about your extensive world travels.
I am kind of known for being a world traveler.
Yes, you are. Now, I believe in your classroom you have a wall with has all the places you have been.
Quite a few.
Not all of them.
Well, my map is one that I'm updating because my old map was full of holes and I needed to change my map.
Okay.
But the map I used to have had all the countries that I'd been to with the year on it, and I'm going to finish doing that.
Okay.
But I do have a wall right now of from about 2008 on. I have a picture of every country that we've been to and a place that is memorable to me, like the Panama Canal or something like that.
So you know I'm going to ask you, where are some of those places you have been?
Oh, many
that are memorable.
See, now
to you.
I thought you were going to ask me which was my favorite.
Well, what is your favorite? How about that?
My kids always ask me that, and it's so hard to pick. You know, I hate to say that some of the communist countries have been my favorites, but really Cuba and Vietnam were right up there at the top of the list. And
why?
They were just. The people were just the friendliest people. The food was great.
Oh, yes.
Never got sick in either country.
Wow.
Had really good, especially links to history, just some connections that I'd never made before. You know, you see things when you travel that you just don't get out of a book.
And you
experience people and you know, the warmth and the welcome that we got was just amazing. And I tell stories, you know, each week from some of my travels. And the kids really like hearing those. But yeah, Vietnam especially ranks right up there as one of my favorites. But I've been to a lot of Latin America and Europe mostly, and just a little bit of Asia. So,
What about the continental United States? Have you covered all 50 states?
No.
I'd say about
half, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So not really gotten to the way western coast, still haven't done California, haven't done like Maine and Washington, D.C. and that area. Have done a lot of the central part of the country and the southwest, but not there are some places I would like to go yet, of course. Yes, I want to get to all 50.
So. Wow. And then for your overseas adventures, what are some countries you still would like to go to?
Oh, definitely Australia and New Zealand.
Oh, okay.
Those are two that rank right up there at the top of my list. But just knowing the flight is very, very long to get there. My longest flight has been 16 hours on a plane, and I know going to Sydney, it's going to be close to 18 to get there. So I know I could do it. It's just the mental, you know, overcoming that.
Yes.
So, yeah, Australia and New Zealand would be great. I would do those two probably together just for taking that long flight.
Absolutely.
Those two would be top. I would probably say more of Germany just because I've only just changed planes there a few times. But I have almost all of my family history on both sides of my family is German. Mm-hmm. So we want to try to take a family trip and do some ancestry.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. Yes. So with your great love of travel, can you explain for Mr. B's Neighborhood audience a little bit about your involvement with the AFS program? And you've been a host. Before?
Yep, we've hosted four daughters now. So we started with Germany back in 2013.
Yes.
And we've hosted about every 3 years, roughly.
Okay.
But we had a German daughter, Daniela. We had a Swedish daughter, Hedda. We had a Swiss daughter, Benedict. And then this past year, just the spring semester, we hosted Carmen, who is from the Netherlands, and she had actually been in Iowa for the first half of the year and then came to our school for the last half. So we have loved dearly all of our daughters. We just FaceTimed with Carmen actually this weekend for just a short time, and you know, they're all 7 hours ahead of us, so they're all at least the same time zone, so we have that down. And they have just been such a joy to have Savannah experience, you know, having a sister since she's an only child. And they are still a big part of our life. And obviously there's some we are able to talk to more than others just with their schedules. But we love them all. We encourage them all to visit. Two of them have. And, you know, Carmen just went back. But we're hoping to visit them maybe this summer, some of them, if it works out schedule-wise. And,
I surely hope it does.
Yeah, and I consider them like family. I mean,
I'm sure you do.
You know, I always tell people I have five daughters, and yes, Savannah's my, you know, obviously biological child, but the other four I treat just like daughters, and some of them call me mom, and some of them, you know, just call you by your first name, but they're all a piece of our life.
Oh, gosh. So can you put a plug in for AFS?
Of course.
Or how, I mean, you in a sense just did, but why should we consider, or why should people in the North Iowa area consider being a host family?
I think just to have that experience of experiencing another culture and understanding that, you know, some people do things differently from us, but that's not wrong. It's just
exactly
different.
Right.
I always talk to my students, you know, when we do the Australia unit, about driving on the opposite side of the road, not the wrong side of the road. And just, you know, learning how people do things differently. And there's not necessarily one right way of doing everything. I feel that, you know, it's just enriching to watch a student come here that has maybe never been to the U.S. before, and you know, they think they know the U.S. from news media and social media, but they really, when you live with a family, you get that experience of really getting to know them instead of just on the surface. And so we would obviously encourage anybody to be a host family. And we do have one foreign exchange student in Forest City right now. She's not living with us, but she's from Thailand, and she's having a great time so far. She's even looking at maybe coming back after she's done in Thailand to come back for college in Iowa. We hope that you know, those kids make those connections and and find out that the U.S. is really a great place, like they all know it is.
Yes. So, being a world traveler as you are, I would have to say, Tammy, knowing you as long as I have and enjoying every moment of that, the most exciting, unusual experience you've ever told me about was marrying a tree. Could you elaborate a little bit on marrying a tree? Yes, folks, that's what I said.
Yes, it is a tree.
A tree.
It's actually a magnolia tree, to
magnolia.
Be specific.
Magnolia.
My tree husband, as I call him, lives in India. He also lives in a cage, which people find very endearing. And the reason for that is because, as you may know, India has lots of monkeys. And the monkeys are pretty much everywhere. They're just all over the place. And so magnolia trees are not really built for animals jumping on them. The branches will break rather easily. So we were told when this hotel that we stayed at, which had this tree in a cage in the front yard, we were told it was to protect it from the monkeys.
Okay.
From hopefully not killing the tree.
Right.
So when we were at, it was our last full day in India. Mm-hmm. This would be August of 2003. Mm-hmm. And we had, about finished our trip. We were done with the hot part of India. We had gone north into the foothills of the Himalayas.
Okay.
And the reason for marrying the tree all stems back to my friend Christine. And at the time, I was dating my current husband, hello, Lee. And we were just dating at the time.
Yeah.
And my friend Christine was big into horoscopes, big into Indian culture with that. And India, of course, usually has arranged marriages.
Yes.
And so my everything is based on being auspicious. It's based on luck.
Okay.
And so your horoscopes have to align, and everything has to be very auspicious.
I see.
For a couple to be allowed to get married.
Mm-hmm.
And so Christine, my friend in Des Moines, had done this horoscope reading with somebody that she knew in Des Moines.
Mm-hmm.
And with Lee's and my horoscope, she said, "Ooh, this is not a good match." And she said that the results came back kind of poorly, which upset me greatly.
Yes, yes, yes.
I was really liking Lee, and
of course,
and it was going well. And
yes,
so
yes, yes, yes.
She said, "I said, oh no, this is not good." And Christine said, "Well, I found a solution." And I said, what is this? And she goes, well, the horoscope came back with the reading that your first marriage will end in failure. It will be horribly not successful. And I said, okay. And she said, well, the first marriage, she said, doesn't necessarily have to be a human.
Oh.
So she said, in India, this was a very long ago tradition. They do not do this anymore. But some people, if they got a poor horoscope and really wanted to marry this person they were hoping to spend their life with, would marry a tree in place of the actual person first, because then that counts as the first marriage.
Okay.
And therefore, if that one ends in failure, it doesn't matter because it's a tree.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody got the bright idea in India that we should have a tree marriage ceremony before we leave. And I was the only single person on the trip. And so Christine told everybody this, and everyone was convinced I had to marry a tree before leaving India. So that's what we arranged. I didn't even arrange anything. Somebody just gave me you wear red on your wedding day.
Really?
So I got a red sari, and I put the red stripe in my hair.
Yes,
and,
yes, yes.
We did the whole nine yards. And the funniest thing is that the man with us on the trip, he was of the Brahmin class and was of the priestly class.
Yes.
And so he did the marriage ceremony thinking the whole thing was legit.
Okay.
And we were laughing hysterically through most of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to, for example, walk around the tree nine times asking if it would accept me. And of course, trees don't talk. So my friend George stood behind the tree to stand in to be the tree, and would answer yes each time. And I had to keep walking around the tree and doing this. And then I had to tie my dress to the tree to be like a ring ceremony to be betrothed.
And this is all on video.
Is all on video. Yes, I don't show that to my kids because we're just laughing hysterically.
Oh my
gosh!
But I'm surprised, Tammy, that you don't feel that trees don't have feelings.
Well, maybe he does, but he's multiple thousands of miles away, so I'm not sure that I care at this point.
oh my gosh. Mm. Well, I think my other question is, are you paying alimony or
no kind of
spousal support? Or?
No, lovely, fantastic teachers of Forest City in 2006, before I married Lee, decided that, well, we should, when we have our little get-together as ladies, we should probably give you a divorce decree. So they very nicely wrote me up a very official-looking document divorces me from the tree, because they did not think I should be a polygamist. So I, however, in my heart, will always have the tree as the backup person. So I tell the kids I'm a polygamist, even though. So
you could have a so-called sister tree, not sister wives.
Probably, yeah.
Yes, sister tree. Yeah.
So just for fun, we say that.
But. Oh well, that's wonderful. That way, that your marriage not a lead. That
yes, it's all legit. Yeah.
It's all legit. Mm-hmm. So, folks, you heard it here first.
That's right.
I'm sure you've not met anybody else who's had an affair with a tree.
No, just married. Just married. I might put it on my gravestone.
Oh.
I think.
I guess you could.
Yeah. Yes. Why not?
Yes, why not?
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, Tammy, what are some of your hobbies and interests then beyond what you've just mentioned? You're very, very involved with teaching. I know you take it very, very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And so, spending time with your husband and your beautiful daughter, what else do you like to do?
Well, in the summer, I'm big into gardening. So,
yes.
As you know, I have two gardens going. I have one with all the pumpkins and viney plants, mm-hmm. and the cucumbers, of course. And then my other garden is one we started that summer of 2020 because, you know, you really couldn't go anywhere and there wasn't a lot to do. So, you know, everybody under the sun was going to Home Depot and Menards trying to find some home improvement project to complete to fill the time since we couldn't go anywhere. So I decided that, well, we should just, you know, add another garden because I was running out of room in the other one. And so to expand my gardening skills, I guess, we built another garden in 2020. And, and that one's now for like the tomatoes and strawberries and things like that.
Okay.
So the ones that aren't viney and don't go everywhere.
Okay.
And so that's my main summer hobby. Of course, traveling.
Yes, yes.
If it's not, you know, COVID season.
Yes.
Then I've been, you know, 20 some countries now. I've lost count. 25, let's say, somewhere in there. And so I really like to do a new country every year if I absolutely can.
Yes.
COVID, of course, interrupted those plans.
Yes.
I know the year I was pregnant with Savannah, I couldn't really go anywhere either.
Right.
So that was unfortunate, but, you know, it worked out. So.
It did.
So, yeah, the gardening would be my main hobby.
Yes.
One hobby I have that I don't think a lot of people do anymore would be collect coins.
Yes.
I do keep some foreign coins when I come home from my travels just because they're interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I do collect pennies. I started collecting pennies when I was 10.
Okay.
And the main reason being my aunt had given me a really old 1828 penny.
Okay.
It's probably like the size of a 50-cent piece or about that size.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought it was really unique. And I thought, wow, that's a penny?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where she found it, at an auction or something.
Mm-hmm.
And gave that to me. And that kind of started my collection.
Mm-hmm.
And so my parents were very willing as a kid to save all their pennies for me. It wasn't costing them a whole lot to do that. And I've just never stopped. I originally, when I was younger, thought, you know, I'm going to save all this up and then I'm going to cash them in when I get married and I'm going to buy my wedding dress with it. That's what I was going to do. And I probably would have had enough.
Actually. I bet so.
Yeah. But I didn't do it at the time.
Okay.
I just thought, well, why stop now? So so I'm up to about 90,000 pennies.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And I still have the 1828 one that my aunt Jane gave me.
Oh, my gosh. So are you going to have to add on to the house?
No. Don't think so. Not enough cost to do that. And they don't take up as much space as you'd think. So.
I guess that's probably true.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, in our closing moments here, any moments of teaching that you'd like to elaborate on that you have found quite entertaining or insightful in your past years of teaching?
There's so many, you know, over 20 years.
Yes,
and,
yes.
You know, I always remember probably my first year of students best, and I think I think a lot of teachers would probably say that.
Yes.
That first group you have is always going to be a special place in your heart.
Yes.
I remember, you know, as we change curriculum and things too, I try to change things around a little bit and try to find the best way to do this for kids. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Spanish is not an easy language to learn. It's probably easier than some, but it's, you know, I try to take it slowly and give them plenty of time to think. And so we've done some puppet shows way back when.
Oh, wow. Great.
We've done different dances and things here and there.
Yes.
We try to focus a lot on the holidays now and focus on, you know, how did they celebrate versus how we do.
Yes, yes.
And just do lots of speaking. I want them to be able to have a basic conversation and not just recite the alphabet. So,
yes.
I've appreciated all the students I've had, even the ones that are a mm-hmm. little more challenging, but mm-hmm. that, you know, everybody has the right to learn.
So. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. Mm-hmm. We can only hope, Tammy, that you and your husband and Savannah will choose to stay here in North Iowa area for a long time to come.
I hope so, too.
All right, and best of luck with your... Do you correspond with the tree?
No. I will say he was checked on in about 2019. My friend Ramesh in Des Moines went back to visit that area uh-huh. of India where he's from or has friends, and uh-huh. he did check on the tree, and he uh-huh. said it was still in good shape.
So. Oh, I'm so glad.
Yes.
Yes, hadn't been taken over by monkeys.
No. Still growing, still thriving. So.
Well, for the audience out there, I just want everybody to know how much I cherish my friendship with Miss Tammy, and she's wonderful to travel with, and she's a superb educator. So very proud that you were a part of my program today. So thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Gotcha. Send a check. Anyway. She doesn't think I'm serious, folks. Anyway, this is, once again, Mr. B signing off, saying a prayer for all of you, that your day is filled with sunshine and love. And if you ever feel like you want to give up on romance, always remember, there's a tree in the yard. All right. Thanks, folks. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
You've just heard another installment of Mr. B's Neighborhood. Tune in to KIOW Mix 107.3 every second and fourth Wednesday of the month at 5:30 p.m. for Mr. B's Neighborhood. Missed a show or want to re-listen to one? Find episodes in podcast form at KIOW.com. It's located on the right-hand side of the homepage. Mr. B's Neighborhood, available at KIOW.com.